For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There have been a number of news articles written over the last several years, many of which are based upon the same studies from the now famous Center for Disease Control and Prevention. The conclusion of all these studies is roundly the same when it comes to the research done on the likelihood of men and women to go to the doctor. The results are very simple. Men are less likely to go to the doctor than women. It's also been determined by Rutgers University researchers that when reporting to their physicians, men are more likely to minimize the severity of their symptoms. For the image of the Norseman returning to camp from a victorious battle with an arrow sticking out of his chest and his thigh and his shoulder still is a strong image. The warrior saying, it's not that bad, doesn't hurt, perhaps even it's only a flesh wound, I've had worse. In an unrelated story, Scientific American revealed that American men live on average about 6.7 years less than women do. Maybe that is related. Now, this passage is not the passage we read for today, but there is a certain passage that comes to mind when we talk about these things. Jesus is doing his normal thing of hanging out with the people that holy men are not supposed to hang out with, and the Pharisees are doing their normal thing of reminding him that he should not be hanging out with these people. And Jesus gives them an interesting line about how it is not the healthy who need the doctor, but the sick. And in their pause, before they respond, they must have said to themselves, I guess we should agree, really, because I think in what he just said, we are well and they are sick. So I think he's saying, carry on. And then they were very ready to receive the report that they were healthy indeed. We kind of figured we didn't need to see the doctor, and so, wait. Are you suggesting that we are, and that you are the physician? Okay, whatever, it's weird. We'll see you at the synagogue. And then they disappeared. When it comes to the gospel that we've read today, about the Pharisee and the publican, we find a situation that has, of course, nothing to do with any difference between tendencies of male and female, but we find the difference between two tendencies in all of us that relates to this little story with Jesus and those Pharisees. What we find is the difference between these two tendencies, where both of these figures in the parable have truly come to the physician. But this time the question is not whether they're reluctant to show up at all at the doctor's office. The question is about whether the self-diagnosis is accurate. Is the problem underreported? Have they minimized the severity of their symptoms? First, we get a close look at the kind of rationalization that leads to a minimizing self-diagnosis, as the Pharisee has. For him, the rationale was to look around himself and find that by comparison with other people, he was not so bad. It's no wonder that when he approaches God, his words are introduced this way. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican over here. From the general to the specific, I know that there are people who are worse than I am. And heck, there are people in this room that are worse than I am. So by comparison, I think I'm okay here. So doctor, it's not that bad. A little sore here, a little arrow sticking out of my thigh. Normal stuff, you know. St. Augustine grants us a clearer picture of what's going on here in Jesus' parable. He says, how useful and necessary a medicine is repentance. People who remember that they are only human will readily understand this. It is written, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The Pharisee was not rejoicing so much in his own clean bill of health as in comparing it with the diseases of others. He came to the doctor, It would have been more worthwhile to inform him by confession of the things that were wrong with him instead of keeping his wound secret and having the nerve to crow over the scars of others. It's not surprising that the tax collector went away cured, since he had not been ashamed of showing where he felt the pain. Now here is a classic model of a person that you love to despise, this Pharisee. A man who is oblivious to reality, who has not learned to call things by their right name, let alone himself, who has called himself righteous and justified. If this were a Hollywood film, he would be the one that you hoped would have his comeuppance in the end. He's going to get it. And then here comes the publican. Now here's a person we can relate to, right? This is more of our kind of person here. This is the one we're going to find ourselves in. And to that I say, hold on a second. Pause for a moment and consider something. We make a mistake when we think that the first listeners to Jesus were all on the side of the publican. Think of the order of the things that that Jesus says these comments in, and there's a twist at the end. We know the ending when we read this, and so we automatically gravitate to the publican. But they were hearing it for the first time. Now imagine you were a Pharisee hearing this for the first time. It's very likely that those listening were following Jesus right up to the end and were actually speaking right alongside the Pharisee in the story, saying, I know, right? I am so glad that I am not like other people. And you can't forget what a hated figure the tax collector was in this Jewish society in ancient Israel. For he was indeed an extortioner, he was unjust, he was a bully, he was a cheat, a traitor, a turncoat, an ally of the Roman Empire, and part of the problem with this society, most would say. If there is a Pharisee who is glad that he's not like that, we're probably going to relate to the Pharisee until Jesus twists it at the end. And then it gets confusing. The tax collector enters, barely, standing afar off and would not even look up, beating his own chest in frustration with himself, pleading not with himself but with God, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Getting closer to the twist now. What is Jesus going to say about this sinner? After Jesus explained to the Pharisees just why he was spending time with the lowest people in society, he said to them, it is the sick who need a physician and not those who are well. Once again, imagine you were the first one to hear him say that. You would not be sure whether you had just been complimented as someone who was well, or rebuked as a sick person who refused to see the physician, or even what had just been said. It is the sick who need the physician and not those who are well. In that instance, Jesus is breaking the rules by being with the unclean because he is good, and we are good because we are not hanging out with the unclean. But then if we were good, as he says, we would hang out with them too, but we would never do that. And so he came for them and not for us. And now you're scratching your head. These ones receive the physician. This is a tricky saying. But the parable was pretty clear. Jesus concludes, this man, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the Pharisee. Now we know that you're speaking clearly, the Pharisee might say. I'm pretty sure that was offensive to me. That was aimed at us, wasn't it? And people who are listening for the first time, who were so glad that they're not like other people, quickly switch over to the publican. Oh, wait, 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 it's the publican that I'm like. I'm like him. Did I say I was glad that I wasn't like other people? Oh, no, I meant to say that I relate to the tax collector because I'm penitent. But for those who have ears to hear it, there's something even more impressive that's being said here by Jesus. The fate of the Pharisee is clear. He, being proud, was not justified. The fate of the repentant publican is clear. He, being humble and penitent, is justified. But you are just listening. You're not the Pharisee or the publican. Once it was the Pharisees who were confused about the implications of Jesus' words, but after this parable, we are left asking, so we're okay, right? You're talking about someone else, I'm pretty sure. You're sticking it to the Pharisees who walk into the presence of God having an exalted view of themselves, comparing themselves to others and feeling pretty good. But wait. Our commentary begins to sound a lot like this, and you have to get this. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, Pharisees, proud. Now we're all in a mental pretzel. Get it? Hold on, let me say that out loud again. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, Pharisees, proud, self-assured, and by comparison to Pharisees, I think I'm pretty good. Oh, the irony now. Wait. I love the parable of the publican and the Pharisee because the Pharisee gets what's coming to him. And listening to the parable, I can say, God, I thank thee that I'm not like him. Something's not right here. St. Cyril of Alexandria says this, for what profit is there in fasting twice in the week if your so doing serve only as pretext for ignorance and vanity and make you proud and haughty and selfish? You tithe your possessions and make a boast thereof, but you in another way provoke God's anger by condemning men generally on this account and accusing others as you are yourself puffed up, though not crowned by the divine decree of for righteousness, but heap on the contrary, praises upon yourself. For I am not, he says, as the rest of mankind. Moderate yourself, O Pharisee. Put a door to your tongue and a lock. You speak to God who knows all things. Await the decree of the judge. None of those skilled in the practice of wrestling ever crowns himself. Nor does any man receive the crown of himself, but awaits the summons of the arbiter. Lower your pride, for arrogance is both accursed and hated by God. No man, because he is in health, ridicules one who is sick for being laid up and bedridden. Rather, he is afraid, lest perchance he become himself the victim of similar sufferings. Nor does any man in battle, because another has fallen, praise himself for having escaped from misfortune. For the infirmity of others is not a fit subject for praise for those who are in health. There is a model carved out for us in the scriptures, and it's neither the blind Pharisee who lives a good life and turns that good life into an offense, nor the publican who leads a reprehensible life, but confesses honestly. It's neither the Pharisee who questions why Jesus is spending time with lowlifes, nor is it the lowlifes that the physician has come to heal. For that matter, it's not in the elder brother who stays and works bitterly with his father, nor is it in the prodigal who wastes his life in riotous living only to repent. As we come to sit at the feet of Jesus and to hear his voice, the very image of the invisible God, the model is Jesus himself, the one telling the parable. There is no publican, no Pharisee in the words which describe Christ, a perfect image of glory and humility, which is our true goal, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Now that's a high calling. And how on earth are we to walk such a straight and narrow path as is laid out before us then? How shall we not fall to the right or to the left? How shall we then live, knowing that everyone that exalteth himself is abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted? We may begin with the attitude of the publican and come to the physician with an honest assessment. We may begin as the sick who both need the physician and receive the physician. But then as we are made well, we may clean the words off of our lips that say, Lord, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. And we may shake off the self-confidence that leads us so often away from God. May we follow the example of Christ himself and humble ourselves, becoming obedient, letting only the Father exalt us. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.